Amends. Written by Diaster. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Hockey RPF. Rating, Teen. Relationship, Sidney Crosby, Yevgeny Malkin. Marc-Andre Fleury, Véronique Fleury. Also tagged for, Alternate Universe BDSM, Established Relationship, Punishment, and Friendship. Part 6 of the To Be Seen Aright series.
In this time, are we loving or do we sit here wondering why this world isn't turning around? It's now or never.
When the doorbell rings, they're sprawled out on the couch, still coming down from the afternoon scene. It had been a long one. Gino had taken Sid's, "Your marks have faded. I need some new ones," as a prompt to painstakingly wrap Sid in an elaborate, spiraling, full-body tie, in a process that required every bit of Sid's attention and Gino's expertise. Afterward, both of them had been too wrung out to really do anything constructive. Sid's reading a book. Gino's half-watching Animal Planet and fucking around with his phone. Gino takes the sound of the doorbell as a personal affront, moaning, "No, don't want," and burying his face in the couch cushions. But since the only people who have the gate code are friends and teammates, Sid heaves himself up onto his feet and tells Gino, "Come on, G, we better see who it is." It's most likely somebody from the team coming to have some more feelings at the two of them about their relationship. Someone who's got some opinions to express about Sid disciplining Gino on the bench last night. Or Gino telling off the press in Sid's defense this morning. And if Sid is being honest, that's basically the last fucking thing he wants to deal with. But leaving one of their teammates standing out there in the October chill forever is not the mature and responsible way to handle it. When they get to the front door, Sid peeks through the window and blinks, surprised. "It's Vero," he says. "Flower's not with her." He can hear the hurt in his own voice and winces. That's not fair. Sid likes Vero. She's been a good friend to him, and under any other circumstances, he'd be really happy to see her. But right now, Sid can't help feeling Flower's absence more keenly than Vero's presence. After last night, after Flower hadn't said a word to defend him when everyone else was telling Sid he'd fucked up and ruined everything, Sid had thought Flower would text him to apologize, or come up to him at practice today. Something. But there was no text, and at practice this morning, Flower had avoided Sid's eyes. It hurt. Sid doesn't understand it. He tried hard not to think about it, but now? Now Vero's here and Flower's not. Sid doesn't know what it means, but it doesn't feel good. He opens the door, pulling on a smile, but Vero looks solemn when she asks if she can come inside. In the foyer, Vero's eyes land on Gino, and she takes a deep, steadying breath. "Thank you for welcoming me into your home," she says. With equal formality, Gino replies, You very welcome. But Sid can see from the lines around Gino's eyes that he's just as perplexed by this as Sid is. Vero pulls in another deep breath and squares her shoulders. Whatever she's about to do or say, Sid thinks, it's not easy for her. With her eyes fixed on Gino's, she says, after the game last night, some of Marc-Andre's teammates insulted your professionalism and your dominance. They hurt and frightened your submissive. She nods respectfully in Sid's direction, meeting his eyes briefly before turning back to Gino. Marc-Andre did not stand up for you, or for Sid, even though Sid is his close friend. Our close friend. And Sid was in the right. I am very disappointed in Marc-Andre's behavior, and I apologize for the harm done to you. To you both, she adds, nodding to Sid again. Sid blinks, trying to absorb what Vero just said. He's not used to hearing her speak so formally, or so somberly. But it's really the content that seems odd to him, not her manner. Sure, it feels good to hear her, to hear anyone acknowledge what happened, and that Sid was in the right, but... You didn't do anything wrong, Sid protests, finally putting his finger on what's bothering him. He doesn't disagree with her description of what happened, or that it was wrong, but he doesn't understand why she's apologizing. But Vero shakes her head. I am responsible for Marc-Andre, she says firmly. If I get a share of his credit when he does well, then I must also accept a share of the blame when he fails. Sid can see the sense in that. And in a different frame of mind, he'd even find it appealing, he thinks. Admirable. So often doms seem to want to take only the easy parts of dominance. The power, the privileges, and the prerogatives. And not the responsibilities and hard work that come along with them. But Sid doesn't find it appealing, and it doesn't feel nice or admirable or fair or any of those things. It just feels confusing, because nothing that Vero said really responded to what's been bothering Sid every time he thinks of the way Flower ignored him last night and today. And so when Gino steps forward and starts to thank Vero for her apology, Sid can't let him finish. Can't let this all be tied up in a nice bow and left at that, because I don't want this, he blurts out. He doesn't like the desperate, jagged tone in his own voice, but he can't regret the words. He meant them, and he thinks they're important. He knows it was super fucking rude to have interrupted Gino, and he shoots him an apologetic look. But Gino doesn't seem bothered. He just rests a supportive hand on the center of Sid's back and looks to Vero, waiting for her response. Vero doesn't seem angry with Sid either, just curiously. She lifts an eyebrow and asks softly, "What do you want, Sid?" That's easy. Sid doesn't even have to think before the words tumble out of his mouth. I want to know where Flower is. He's the one who was there. Why isn't he apologizing? Vero pauses, opens her mouth for a moment, as if she's about to answer, but then carefully closes it, again rethinking. When she eventually does answer, her voice is very quiet. I assure you, it is much worse for Marc-Andre to know that I am here, humbling myself because of what he has done, or failed to do, than it would be for him to apologize himself. But that doesn't answer my question, Sid thinks, frustrated. Again. Worse, he repeats, shaking his head, in bewilderment, not denial. Why does that matter? Vero blinks, as bewildered by Sid's words as he was by hers. It matters because Marc-Andre has done something wrong, she says, She's visibly struggling for words, as if what she's saying is so basic that she's never had to think about how to explain it before. A very wrong thing that hurt someone, so he has to be punished. Sid has to brace himself as about a dozen contradictory reactions flood through him. On the one hand, the system that Vero is describing, if action, then consequence, resonates deeply with him, down to his core. But on the other hand, here, now, for this particular thing, that system feels as wrong to Sid as the crack of a belt across his back. I'm hurting, Sid thinks, feeling that ache of abandonment all through his bones. And the system is set up to come here and drag up all that hurt, but it's not set up to give me anything that'll actually make me feel better. When someone I love fails me, all the system can do is make sure that the person I love is being hurt right back. How is that better? How is that good at all? I told you, I don't want this, Sid says, trying and failing to keep his frustration out of his tone of voice. I don't care if Flower is being punished. That's not what I want. That's never what I wanted. I just want my best friend back. His throat is thick and his eyes are stinging, and yeah, it's probably not a great idea for him to be dealing with this so soon after an intense scene. But now that he's started, the words won't stop pouring out of him. I want to see Flower. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to know why he didn't stand up for me. Sid's voice is shaking badly, and his chest feels so tight that it's hard to breathe. But he has one more thing to say, and when he trusts he can say it, without his voice giving out, he concludes, "You're trying to make this a thing between two Doms, but it's not about you. This is between me and Flower, and I want my friend." He's crying a little by the end, and he's probably pissed off his boyfriend and one of his closest Dom friends, who are just trying to do the right thing by the rules that they'd been taught. But fuck it, he wants Flower. Gino doesn't seem mad, though. He steps closer to Sid and wraps an arm around his shoulders, which is a pretty unmistakable gesture of support. And something tight wound inside Sid relaxes. It means a lot to know that Gino has his back on this. Gino, meanwhile, kisses Sid's temple, then turns to Vero. Carefully, he says, "I thank you for come here for apologize. Is most polite. But I think," he shrugs, "I think Sid right. This may be not our business." From the expression on her face, it's clear that Vero doesn't like that at all. But her tone is calm when she replies, "You and Sid have one kind of relationship, and it is a good relationship for you, and it makes you happy. But Marc-Andre and I have a different kind of relationship, a kind of relationship where everything that Marc-Andre does is my business." She takes a breath and suddenly smiles wryly. "I am not used to having to defend that," she says, almost to herself. "To defending the kind of relationship I have with my sub." Walk a mile in my shoes, Sid thinks. It must show on his face, because Vero smiles again and inclines her head towards him, acknowledging the point. "Yes," she says ruefully. "Yes." It helps a little, knowing that she can see what Sid sees, knowing that she's taking this moment of discomfort as a doorway to empathy, rather than a reason to lash out. Not many Doms would. Vero runs a hand through her hair and huffs out a short sigh. "I was so sure I was doing the right thing," she says, thinking aloud. "And for me, and for Marc-Andre, it was. But not, as you have said, the right thing for you." She lifts her head to look straight at Sid. "And you are the person who has been most wronged, so that matters. It matters very much." She takes a step closer to Sid, and tells him soberly, I am not sorry I came here, and I do not take back my apology on Marc-André's behalf. It was what we needed. But now, she smiles at Sid again and extends her open hands toward him, please, my dear friend Sid, will you come to my house and accept my beloved Marc-André's apology? Sid knew he wanted those words, but until he heard them, he didn't realize how much. When he exhales and reaches for Vero's hands, it feels like the first full breath he's let out since she walked in the door. Yes, he says with all his heart. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. It takes Sid and Gino a little while to work out whether Gino should come along. And eventually, Vero kisses each of them on the cheek and says, Whatever you decide, you are both welcome. I shouldn't leave Marc-André alone this long, so I will go tell him you are coming and wait with him. Sorry, Sid mutters, but Vero shakes her head. It is interesting, she says, with evident sincerity, to see how it works with the two of you. It takes Sid a minute to realize what she means, to realize that, in Vero and Flower's relationship, there wouldn't be this kind of debate. Vero might ask for Flower's opinion before she made up her mind, but then again, she might not, and they definitely wouldn't talk each other around to a joint decision, like Sid and Gino have been doing. Vero would just decide, probably, and then that's what they would do. Huh, he says, bemused, watching the door close behind her. That's not what he's used to. Not with Gino, of course, but not what he was raised with. Even though his parents have a mostly traditional relationship, Sid's dad didn't have that power to decide stuff totally unilaterally. They wouldn't openly debate stuff like Sid and Gino do, but the whole family took for granted that Sid's mom had the right to air her opinions before Sid's dad made any final decision. And all of us are happy, Sid thinks. Us, my folks, and Vero and Flower, even though we're all doing it differently. It's kind of a weird thought, but also kind of a nice one. Okay, but like I'm say, Gino says, picking up their earlier discussion and bringing Sid out of his thoughts. Is a lot of feelings last night, this morning, then seen, now this. I'm worried, Sid. Don't want you alone. He's making his puppy eyes face at Sid, which is very cute, but not cute enough to change Sid's mind. I get that, Sid allows. But I won't be alone. I'll be with Flower and Vero, our friends. And I worry that if you are there, Flower won't feel like he can say what he was really thinking, and I won't get a real answer. But like you say, Gino counters shrewdly, Flower is friend. He know me, Sid. I'm not just random Dom. Maybe he's feel like he has to pretend. Why he's not honest? Why you think he's hold back or something? But Sid knows the answer to that one right away. Because he did last night, he says quietly, looking down at the ground. In front of all of his Dom friends, Tanger and Duper especially, who should have made him feel comfortable, Flower had kept silent when Sid needed him most. Gino makes a soft, sympathetic, humming noise. Oh, Sid, he murmurs. And he pulls Sid into his arms. Okay, Sid. He kisses Sid's forehead and says ruefully, Why I'm try argue with most smart sub, Always right. I'm not always right, Sid mutters, pleased nevertheless at the praise. I'm write that down, Gino says wryly. So Gino reluctantly stays home, and Sid gets in his car and heads for Vero's house. He walks up the front steps to the porch and knocks, swallowing a little thrum of nervousness that wants to climb up his throat. When Vero opens the door, she says quietly, "I told him you were coming and why." Then she steps back and motions for Sid to come in. Immediately, Sid's eyes go to Flower, kneeling just inside the front door. Sid has the feeling he's been kneeling there ever since Vero first left the house. His eyes are red. Even as hurt and disappointed as he is, there's no part of Sid that could hold back from dropping to his own knees and wrapping his arms around Flower. But Flower flinches back and says, with difficulty, "Don't." "Why not?" Sid demands. His arms drop uselessly to his sides. Out of the corner of his eye, he notices Vero slipping away down the stairs. Flower looks at the floor, shame scrawled across his face, and shakes his head. "I don't deserve..." "No," Sid says immediately. He's not having that. "No, what you have with Vero, maybe that's about deserving. But this, us, what we have, it's..." "Above that," he almost says, but he catches himself. That's not fair to Flower's relationship with Vero, or to the relationship most of Sid's friends and family and teammates have with their partners. Instead, he says, "It's outside that. I don't care what you deserve. I just want..." Sid's voice cracks, and Flower reaches out to him instinctively. His hands stop just short of touching Sid, and that hurts too. "I just want to know why you left me alone," Sid finishes. Raw. Flower flinches again. "Sid, please. I thought we didn't do that," Sid says painfully. "I thought when they come for us, we have to stand up for each other because we're the only ones we can count on," he recites, remembering what Flower said to him that night in the parking garage. Tears are trickling down Flower's cheeks, and his arms are tucked up against his chest as if they're broken. He chokes out, "I don't..." "You don't know?" Sid asks. Flower shakes his head, miserable, avoiding Sid's gaze. "I do, I just..." "It's okay, Flower," Sid says, his heart beating faster. "Whatever it is, you can say..." "No, I..." He reaches out to Flower, promising, "Really, it's okay, just... I thought they were right!" Flower gasps, and he breaks down sobbing, hard enough to make his whole body shake. Sid is frozen. "I've changed my mind," he thinks numbly. "I didn't want to know. I don't..." He would have forgiven Flower 100 times for cowardice, or for not wanting to be a problem in the room, or for not knowing what to say, or for being too shocked to speak. It would have been easy. This, Sid doesn't know. It hadn't even occurred to him that Flower might have been just as horrified as everybody else at the way Sid yelled at Gino on the bench. That Flower, too, might have thought that Sid had effectively traded his captaincy by accepting Gino's hand around his wrist. "Maybe that isn't what Flower's saying," he tells himself desperately. "I don't even know for sure what he meant." So he asks. While Sid was processing, Flower's sobs have petered out. Tears are still flowing from the corners of his eyes, but he can breathe without shaking. When he hears Sid's question, he hangs his head and answers softly, I thought you'd gone too far." Sid's gut lurches. Flower continues, "The way you'd talked to him was, no Dom could just let that go. And the kind of punishment that would be harsh enough to balance out a transgression like that, it would have to be brutal." Flower shivers. "And that was, if he even could forgive you." He looks up at Sid out of the corner of his eye, head still bowed in shame. Honestly, Sid, I didn't think he could. I thought for sure he was going to give your ring back. Sid pulls in a sharp breath as if he'd been struck. He wouldn't, he says fiercely, although he'd feared that very thing when he'd come home last night to find Gino silent in the dark. Flower closes his eyes. I know. Fuck, Sid. I don't know if you want to hear any of this. Sid's frankly not sure either, but he didn't come this far and make Flower cry just to say, never mind. Let's just pretend this never happened. So he puts an arm around Flower's shoulders for support, just like Gino did for him before, and says, I do want to know. However you can explain it, I... Please. Flower nods unhappily. He's quiet for a minute, putting his thoughts in order. Then he begins. My whole life. His voice cracks on the word life, and he flushes, then starts over. All my life, he explains softly. When I see a sub do something that makes his Dom angry, very angry, he shudders. It's the same ending, Sid, he says, almost pleading. Always. Punishment, or it's over. I couldn't imagine the story ending another way. I couldn't... My head couldn't make it fit, but that's no fucking excuse, and I know it. He ducks his head, hiding his face, but not fast enough to hide the shame twisting up his features. His shoulders are shaking again as he says unsteadily, I'm so sorry, Sid. You needed me, and I didn't understand. I didn't understand why you were so sure. Why you wouldn't take Pascal's help. Why you kept insisting nothing was wrong. I thought you were crazy. I thought you should be afraid. And I fucking let you down. I'm so sorry, Sid. By the time his voice gives out under the weight of how hard he's crying, Flower is collapsed in Sid's arms, tears dripping into the notch of Sid's collarbone. Sid holds on tight and presses his cheek to Flower's forehead. It's okay, he murmurs, and he means it. He understands now, and with that understanding comes forgiveness. How could he not forgive Flower, when the struggle that kept Flower from speaking up is as familiar to Sid as his own name? It's okay, I know how hard it is to imagine something different. Boy, does he ever. I know how hard it is to try to change the story in your own head when it's only ever gone one way, again and again. It's the hardest thing. The hardest. Tears are starting to roll down Sid's cheeks as well. Not from sadness or anger, but just tears of pure catharsis, cleansing him from the inside out. I understand. I love you, Flower. It's okay. That makes Flower cry harder. But Sid thinks, at least as far as he can tell this sort of thing, that it's cathartic for him, too. Flower is not so tightly tensed up as he was before, and his arms lift to wrap around Sid, offering as well as accepting support. There are very few people who Sid would allow to see him like this, broken down and messy and vulnerable. But Flower's been on that list for a very long time, and Sid has nothing to hide from him. There's no need to hold back anything. Eventually, when they're both wound down some, Flower leans back enough to look Sid in the eye. I was supposed to know better, he acknowledges, his voice clear even though it's still rough with tears. I was the one who told you that a sub's relationship with his Dom is just between them, however works for them. Yeah, Sid has to let go of Flower, because his back is killing him in this position. But as he folds down to sit cross-legged, he catches Flower's hand and keeps hold of it. "And I'm glad you did. I still think about that a lot. It helped, Flower." Flower squeezes Sid's hand and gives him a tired half-smile. "I am happy, but I wish I had thought about it more." He sighs and lifts his free hand to rub over his face. "I thought of myself as such a big fucking rebel. I make more money than Vero. I don't do much around the house. We have this teasing kind of relationship, even in front of other people. But I didn't see all the things I still take for granted. I'm sorry, Sid." Earlier today, Sid would have said those were the words he most wanted to hear. But it turns out what he really wanted was to understand, to know why. Now that he does, he feels about 10 pounds lighter. It makes it easy to be forgiving. "It's like being a goalie, right?" Sid says, shrugging. "You'll never stop them all, but..." He nudges Flower gently with his shoulder. "Your save percentage is still pretty good." Flower lets out a slow, shuddering breath and looks down at their joined hands. "You are too good to me." "No such thing," Sid says tenderly. Flower sniffles a little and liberates his hand from Sid's so he can dab at the drying tear tracks on his cheeks. "You'll make me cry again," he mutters. When he's done, he sits back a little on his heels and looks back up at Sid. "Will you accept my apology?" "I already have." Flower nods, pleased. "Did Gino accept Vero's?" "Yes, but I didn't." When Flower gives him a quizzical look, Sid explains, "It wasn't her apology I wanted." Flower shakes his head, his mouth curling into a wry grin. "That's hard for me to imagine, too. A sub rejecting a Dom's apology to another Dom. But when it is you, that's an easier picture to think of." "Yeah," Sid says, amused. "When you need to imagine a sub doing something crazy, just picture me doing it, and that'll be easier for sure." Flower catches Sid's gaze and says firmly, "Yes, because you are brave." Sid blushes, but he doesn't look away. He's getting better, he thinks, about accepting praise from the people who matter to him. "Thank you," he says instead, and Flower smiles. From down the stairs, Vero's voice calls, "Hello, how is everyone?" Sid startles. Now that he hears her voice, he remembers her quietly heading down the stairs earlier, but he'd forgotten all about her while he was focused on Flower. She must have stepped away to give him and Flower some privacy, which, now that he thinks of it, is a pretty significant gesture from a Dom who views everything Flower does as her business. It must be driving her crazy, not knowing what's going on, he thinks. And he quickly yells back, "We're good. Everything's good." "Excellent," she replies. "Are you done with your private sub conversation?" Sid glances at Flower, who nods. He calls down, "Yeah, we're done." "Oh, good, because I am getting hungry for dinner." As soon as she mentions it, Sid's stomach grumbles. "Dinner sounds really good," he agrees. He climbs to his feet, but when he offers Flower a hand up, Flower refuses. "Vero has not said that I am done," he says softly, looking down. Before Sid can react to that, Vero comes up the stairs. She smiles when she sees them. "You both look well. A little damp, but well." She comes to stand in front of Flower and hooks a finger in the front of his collar. And the smile fades from her face. She tells him, "Gino accepted my apology on your behalf." Flower swallows and tries to duck his head. Her grip on his collar, light but firm, stops him. He whispers, I'm so sorry you had to. He accepted it, she repeats, cutting Flower off, but without heat or anger. But Sid had a very good point, which was that my apology was not enough. So now I ask you, did you apologize to our dear friend Sid? I did, maîtresse. He answers, eyes still lowered. Sid nods in corroboration, but Vera doesn't look at him. She only has eyes for Flower. She asks, and did he accept your apology? He did, maîtresse. Then you are forgiven, she murmurs, bending to press a kiss to his forehead. Come, my love, no more punishment. Come and stand and hold me. Sid steps close to help support Flower as he gets to his feet. If Flower's been kneeling for as long as Sid thinks, it's no surprise that he wobbles a little as he unfolds. As soon as Flower's steady on his feet, he and Vero embrace each other tightly, and even when they break apart, Vero keeps an arm around Flower's waist, reassuring. We will get takeout, of course, she announces. Sid, would you like to invite Gino? I would, yeah, Sid says. He knows Gino must be worrying about him. And just for Sid's own sake, selfishly, he'd like to have Gino close. Gino wasn't wrong when he said that the last 24 hours have been a lot for Sid, and Sid could really use Gino's comforting, supportive presence right now. When Gino answers the phone with a hurried, "It's okay, Sid. You need me?" Sid smiles and knows he was right to call. "It's all good," he says. "We are going to get takeout. Want to join us?" Vero prompts. "Ask if he likes Vietnamese." "Yes, want join," Gino enthuses. "And yes, like Vietnamese. We can get from place with little rolls of grilled beef. And is soup you like?" "The soup I like, hmm?" Sid asks, amused. He has never successfully finished a bowl of pho in front of Gino without Gino asking, faux casually, "Oh, you look full. You done? You want I have rest?" Gino ignores this with a sniff. "Ask Vero and Flower what they want, okay, Sid? And I'm pick up and come over." "Sounds good." When Gino shows up about 20 minutes later, loaded down with bags, he nods politely at Vero, then turns to beam at Sid. "Hello, best," he says softly, and Sid flushes. Gino hardly ever praises him or calls him pet names in front of other people, and it's a little embarrassing. But with everything that's happened today, it's just what he needed. "I'm hug you," Gino continues, looking sheepish. "But my arm's full of soup, and I'm spill if I hug." "I can still hug you," Sid says, and he suits actions to words, wrapping his arms around Gino's body and tucking his face under Gino's jaw. The closeness feels like a warm hand on the back of his neck, soothing and grounding, with a shiver of pleasure. "Most smart," Gino mumbles approvingly into Sid's hair. "And now eat?" "Yeah," Sid agrees, stepping back regretfully. He wouldn't mind holding on a little longer, but it's a little weird cuddling when Vero and Flower are watching them. And anyway, the food is getting cold. "They are so cute," Vero stage whispers to Flower, and Sid flushes again and escapes up the stairs with one of the bags of takeout. The kitchen is a flurry of activity as they figure out which dishes belong to which person and who needs what silverware, with Vero directing traffic. "I may not be any good at cooking," she says philosophically, "but I am excellent at serving takeout." When they're all done dividing up the food, they take the whole feast into the dining room and arrange themselves at one end of the hilariously large, formal dinner table. Sid and Gino eat off their own plates and bowls, barring a few incidents of petty larceny by Gino, who wasn't smart enough to order his own summer rolls. And for once, Sid doesn't feel a single instant of the self-consciousness that dogs him whenever he and Gino eat together in public. And Vero feeds herself and Flower off of one heaping shared plate, never letting her chili noodles touch his pickled carrots, because she knows he has no tolerance for spice. And for once, Sid can appreciate the beauty and intimacy of that tradition without feeling it as a judgment on himself and his submission. They can just sit around the table and be who they are, two couples with three plates. And that's enough. The end.
This time, are we loving or do we sit here wondering why this world isn't turning around? It's now or never.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.